Hello, everybody. This is Black Talk Sacramento number 14.
Welcome, everybody, to Black Talk Sacramento.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
I'm Nsa'a.
My name is Marichelle J. Brown.
I'm Jerry Giles Simpson.
And I am Antonio, quote unquote, Tony Harvey. Sacramento Observer.
He has a serious name. We got quotes in it. As long as you don't.
Right. My grandfather killed me if I leave Antonio out.
Oh, really? Your grandfather would.
Well, he's passed away, but, you know, I don't come back to hide. Okay.
Rise up like Lazarus. He'd be like, hit you in the back of the head. Boy, I told you. Okay, so, well, I guess we should get started with our opening song.
Opening
right?
song.
Yes. Dum, 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 dum. Black Talk Sacramento. Black Talk Sacramento. Black Talk Sacramento. Black Talk.
Black Talk.
So,
got that jazz combo going.
Yes. Today we have some Live wonderful quartet. People on. Today we have some wonderful guests.
We have fantastic guests.
Fantastic guests that we're going to bring on to the main line, as you know, as my grandmother used to say.
The main line. Put them on the main line.
On the main line.
Tell them what you want.
Yes. I guess we're going to start with the bio of our first guest, Goss. You can start. And then we're going to end with our breastfeeding. We should end on a positive note.
Breastfeeding. Hey, our first guest for this evening is Miss Glenda Lombard of Events by Glenda. She specializes in event coordination and fundraising. Glenda has more than 28 years of experience as an entrepreneur, stemming from her days in Southern California. Glenda Lombard stands apart from other event coordinators because of the fact that she has a creative slant, her resourcefulness, and attention to the details that define a unique and successful event. Ladies and gentlemen, we welcome to Black Talk Sacramento, Ms. Glenda Lombard. Hey, Glenda Lombard. How you doing?
Hey, Jerry. Hi, guys.
Welcome. Welcome.
Before we start, you know, we forgot to mention that we are here at Underground Books.
Underground Books. Where we at?
Yeah. At 2814 35th Street.
And Historic Oak Park, Sacramento, California.
And the phone number here is
916-737-3333.
And another three. Now, back to you, Glenda. Hey, welcome.
Okay. So, I guess my first question with you would be, who is Glenda Lombard? And tell us what it is to be an event coordinator.
Ah, okay. Well, first, I just want to thank you guys so much for inviting me here with y'all. You guys are doing some amazing work.
Well, I've been watching
your series and hot stuff.
Okay,
good stuff.
Well, thank you.
Yes. Well, thank you, ma'am.
And I love the fact
like
that
hot stuff.
Yeah, it's hot. You're hot too, honey.
Oh!
No. All right, maybe want to pop a collar.
Yeah, it's going to cost you. We mentioned entrepreneur, right? Oh, well, so a little bit about me. I have actually been a business owner since, the age of 21. But realistically, I've been an entrepreneur since the day I was born. Both my parents, my father was in the military, a lifer, and my mom, being an immigrant, I was actually born in Japan. Not speaking in English, coming to this country at the age of 8. My parents married, very solid family, an only child. But my mom always had this entrepreneur spirit about herself to survive here in the States. Back then, it wasn't that easy because she didn't speak English, and I'm not the traditional-looking Japanese because of my mixed
little
heritage.
Chocolate in the,
that's
a
right.
Little chocolate,
little
in
chocolate
the mix.
There, baby.
You're a little black and east.
That's right.
Okay.
There it is. Right. So you make those things work. All and right. So through that, all my life coming as a kid, I was always that one trying to work out a deal on the corner with the neighborhood kids because we had the house with the pool. And, you know, and they wanted to come swimming, they had to drop a quarter.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
But wait a minute. Since you have wait a minute. Was that legal? Skills, all those homegrown skills.
I know. You didn't know that about me.
I didn't know you had the side hustle.
I know. They always say, oh, that sweet lady.
You better pay me.
That's right. Did I mention the bouncer. Other side? That's okay. Right. The other side of my origin is Jamaican. So you mix those two combos and hey,
you got it going on.
That's right.
So
that's
can you speak Japanese?
You know, I spoke very fluent when I came to the States. But unfortunately, back in the 60s, you know, it was a real big push for me and my mom to speak English because of my father's military background. Mm. And so a little moving forward, they kind of got squished out and all my peers and people. I have no relatives out here. So mm-hmm. it was just my mom and me. And no more. I know.
I love anime.
I know. Yeah. I know. I can understand it. So they talk to me.
Oh, well, that's
in
good.
In that nail salon, you know, the pick a color?
That's hilarious.
So listen, being an event coordinator, is there... some serious formal education that goes into that, or are you doing this based on just God's gift, the spirits, and all that type of stuff? What's going
on? Good question. Very good question. So there's two routes you definitely can take, and the route that I took coming in, like I mentioned to you, I've been a business owner forever and a day. So my whole history has been in that aspect of design, fashion, layout. But at the end of the day, it was really just following my passion. So for me, my direction became business first and then education second. Not that I take that as education should be on the back burner, but because back in the day, I started off in the 80s, I was able to grandfather in a lot of areas. My actual initiation was in interior design. So fashion is what I was mentioning. Anyway, I was able to grandfather into the educational side of that, move forward, went to schooling. It kind of served one to another. And the event portion came when we actually came here to Sacramento with my husband. And we have three daughters. And at the time, we transitioned here in the 1998. And...
same time I came.
Yeah, I know. And old sack, huh? Yeah, I know. Right. Exactly. So we were definitely the trailblazers here. But anyway, opened up into that. My husband was into the political fundraising and working with a lot of the legislators. Mm-hmm. And we were really entrenched with the White Building there, which is the Capitol. One thing led to another. We had a firm already. We already had a management firm. And because of my background in design and layout, the love of it, remember I just mentioned about passion. It was just kind of a natural progression for me to just lay out events. And then moving forward, I ended up taking over that whole side of the company. He went into advocacy, and then I stuck around and did fundraising and events because it just soared, you know, just did well.
So can you talk about some of the events that you have promoted?
Sure. We were actually the destination event coordinator for the Legislative Black Caucus throughout the state of California for 8 years. We also do a lot of very high profile events, a lot of the legislators, a lot of that I mentioned to you, a lot of nonprofits, social events. Pretty much the layers of clientele that I have is pretty usually high level events. However, I do a lot of fun social events as well too. Because it's kind of, I end up getting that tag, which is nice, I ain't gonna lie. But then there were events that I just loved to do and that people wouldn't approach me because they thought maybe I was too expensive or maybe out of their zone. And that's not the case. That's not the case at all. You know, I talk about people, and I do a lot of work when I bring in interns or apprentices with youth that come in the community that have shown interest. I mentioned I have three daughters, so let me tell you, the pool was very easy because it's usually a lot of their friends. Yeah.
That's that free labor.
Yeah, it is. It is, right. But, you know, here's the good thing about it. You know, it's that association, you know, teach as you go. And because our girls just had an interest and a love to be around, they automatically, as I mentioned, being my mom and me, it was an automatic transition that our girls are entrepreneurial spirits and things like that. But with that said, that's the one thing I do recommend with people is find that nuance, routes. Find what works for you. For me, my thing is I am the face. You know, I'm the face of it. Not so much because I am the face, but.
You're the face. You're the face.
My take has always been, even in interior design and in all my businesses, people. Is meeting people where they're at. When I first meet with a client and I sit down, I don't press upon my thoughts and my background of what I feel is going to be great for your event, but I take the time to research and get to know the client and what direction they want to go, what are they trying to achieve. And usually through that, we end up kind of designing something that was really within them. They just didn't know how to structure it or how to take it or design and implement it.
So now that you say that, and being an event coordinator, how flexible do you have to be?
That's a good question. Very. You know, at the end of the day, you have to really ask yourself, is this what you really want to do? Because again, like I mentioned, it's about people, you know, and when you take on that contract and you have that client.
And plus you have their event. It's your responsibility to make sure it goes
all
off. You're always nervous.
And if it goes bad, they blame you.
If it goes bad, they blame you.
Yeah. So you've got to be able to, walk those two paths. But you know what? I have to say, I've been blessed. I'm really good at that. I'm good at that because, again, I go back to that fundamental. I meet that the client, meet them where they're at, and then we develop and design from that point. So as we move into the event side of it and the logistics and the current part of it is, we're all inclusive. So you're never left out. So yes, is there things that happen? Of course it is, you know? Yeah. And people in our business always tell you, I'd say this, don't ever think about what's going to go wrong because no one knows what's going on behind the scenes. That's, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just when you end up out there, you just put that smile on, you deliver, and it's all good.
Yeah. It reminds me of The Wedding Planner with Jennifer Lopez.
Yes, yes.
When she walking around with that fanny pack. She had everything in the fanny pack, like a utility belt.
Yeah,
during
I have
the
one
event. And she'd be like, oh my.
And you always got your phone. You got about 3-4 phones hanging on to you.
So for
someone who may want to think about stepping off into event planning, do you have to have a lot of money to start? What would you say? What would be the best way of to go about becoming this person?
You know, that's very good too. You know, I tell people, go and invest your time. Try to either, like in my case, if people were able to reach out to me, you know, come and either see if you can intern for me, do some volunteer. You know, I always do seasonal requests, RFQs, which mean for help, because I do events, so there's seasonal events. Come on board and see what interests you. Or two, if you get an opportunity, a lot of organizations and companies are actually doing in-house events, you know, maybe small mixers or small workshops, things like that. Apply for those jobs because they're usually on a different scale, but at least will give you some exposure. One, I always go back to see if you really love to do this because you got to have a love to whatever you do. But in this case, it has to be for the love.
Because you're dealing definitely with
you
the
do.
People.
You really, really do.
So are your doors open for interns now? And if so, how do someone get in contact?
Sure. No, they are. I actually speak to people. I get referred people to
people.
Do you
have a website or a number they can call?
I do. My number is, it's local, 916-412-4835. My website is Lombard, MGMT, and that's M as in Mary, G as in girl, M as in Mary, T as in Tom.
She got it down. Okay. She got it down.
So what's your favorite type of event to do?
You know, okay, so as a planner, and I know, Jerry, you can appreciate this as an artist and a photographer, you know, when you can get a group that just hires you, there's no budget restraints.
Oh, of course.
All right, that's awesome. And,
of course.
And they
the sky's the limit.
Yeah, it's like being able to have a blank canvas and really appreciating that design. And then when that implementation comes out, it's awesome because you can so see, that's an event by Glenda.
Okay, all right. So have you had a difficult customer?
You know, I'm going to have to say, because I've had a lot of contracts and a lot of clients, and I have to say no.
Okay.
Because I'm going to go back to what I mentioned to you before, is that...
It's the communication.
It's the communication. Mm. We sit down prior, and we get to know, because I'm not for everybody.
Okay?
I'm not for everybody. And maybe everybody's not my type of group that would be a perfect fit. Not that, you know, it's always said that dominoes, all money ain't good money.
Right.
Because
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be be about the money. It should be about the connection.
About your love and the connection and that you make.
Because that, you know. But I have had, and I use this one because I do get asked this question. It wasn't a client. It was actually a guest.
Oh, okay.
And yes, which makes it even a two-headed sword.
A guest. What did that mean, guest?
So a guest. So I had an event. Okay, mm-hmm. And that participant was a guest of the event.
Okay,
which it goes into a real gray area.
Right.
Oh yeah, but you know, I have to say that was pretty much in the early portion of time of what I was doing this. I have to say,
What did she do? To cause your event to go awry?
Yeah, well, she didn't. The event didn't go awry. I held my ground. But the bottom line, she wanted to kind of take over. You know, we had elements of the environment that took place. So it's a planner.
It's like with a photographer. Everybody wants to take pictures and you can't get your job done.
Exactly.
You know, and every time you show up and do something creative, you know, I got a cousin that's creative too. Mm-hmm. You know, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, I know.
They do.
He got a really nice phone.
Yeah.
Yes. So you had a wannabe event planner that came in there that wanted to take over your event.
Right. Pretty much, you know, directing the traffic, directing the other guests to another area.
Yeah, that's
the
wild.
But you know what? At the end of the day, I was able to address, you know, this person and take reign back over the situation. And it all went smooth and well. But it was the after when there was a group of people that came over to talk to me. And, you know, you don't see because, you know, you're in the zone. You know, I've got stuff to do. You know,
right.
And but applauded me that, which if you really know me, I was surprised that my voice didn't raise, my face, because I'm very honest in my face. I'm surprised I didn't have that attitude, you know, took the joy. I didn't. Yeah. And they applauded me that.
You kept your professionalism.
You was able to handle it. You could drive.
They said that I was shocked because
you didn't kick off the shoes and the earrings come off.
And get some Vaseline on your face.
I know, right. Okay. So no, yeah, okay. And so for that that's what I remember. You so yeah, you know the truth. Huh? This is because I'm just telling you guys on the radio.
Okay.
But yeah, so that's really the end of the day. You know,
You just have to meet people where they are.
You
have to be a people person.
You
just in this business. You got to be an extra people person.
Yeah.
You know, because when people are tending to pay you money to come in and put their party on for them, they almost think you're thinking like them. Mm-hmm. You almost have to think for them to a certain extent.
Right.
Well, most people know what they don't want.
Yeah, but most
then,
don't even know what they
it's
want.
It's like, I know what I don't want.
Yeah.
And
then you have to kind of chip away from it. The event or the, because, you know, in graphic design, the same way. People know what they feel.
They think they know what they want.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a misnomer. You know, it's funny about event planners because I do make it look like fun. I mean, I do. You know, when you've ever been to Marcel, Jerry, they've been part of my team.
They've been fun.
You know. And, you know, and it is, and it should be that. Right. You know, it really should be that.
But deep down underneath.
But, you know, and it's funny, and I get people that will come and go, God, you have an easy job. Oh, my God, do you really work?
Look easy.
Oh yeah. Like, is this even a job? I mean, is this a career? I mean, and it's interesting, you know. And some I let into the personal side, like, well, you know, what do you make? I mean, do you do well, or is this, you know? And it's interesting because yes, it is. It is. It's a business.
Right.
Yes, it is. It is work because it's you only seeing today. I see you now.
You didn't see what it took 3 weeks and all the way down the road.
It's an iceberg, right?
Yeah.
The majority of it is underwater.
Yeah,
so
it is
because they see the end result of all the planning and everything, weeks and weeks and weeks of
try years.
In,
I've got
logistics.
Contracts that
I've
been in contract 2 years prior to the event.
Wow.
So think about that.
I know, that's everyday stress.
Meetings,
right.
Conference calls, logistics, vendors, think about it. And then
personalities.
You get closer, changing of design, all of a sudden.
Then promotion.
And then suddenly the person that you was working with all the time is no longer
over.
There.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Yeah,
but you know, it's all about being organized.
Yes.
Okay. And knowing what you want. And that's really another key, knowing what you want.
So when you was growing up, did you have like a planner? like a big planner that you
know, it's so funny you said that. I didn't know, but I did.
Yeah. Oh, you yeah. did? Okay.
Very, yeah, even all though right. it's that artsy side, like, I was always, yeah, in my little language. No one could read it, you know, but my husband always says, your banking system is a little unique.
Okay.
That's it.
All right. And I go, it works though, for
right?
me, right?
Right, right? I know where everything yeah, is. I know where all your money is.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, so listen, thank you so much for coming.
Oh, you're
we appreciate
welcome.
You.
Yes.
We appreciate you, yes. too. Yeah. Thank
so,
you.
So repeat your website for us.
Okay.
And if people want to
get
a hold of you
say
to
the name
have
of the
an
company
event,
again.
Right? If they want to do a power move in Sacramento.
That's right.
I love
to,
it.
To get this lady on board.
I love
yeah.
it. Yeah.
yeah.
So again, it's Lombard with an O, like the street in San Francisco.
Crooked Street.
There you go. And Lombard Management and Acronym. So it's Lombard MGMT.com or number 916-412-4835.
And that's Events by Glenda.
Events by
give her a hand, everybody.
All right. Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
That was awesome.
That was groovy.
Hey. All right, next up, we have about breastfeeding. So we're going to get these ladies up, and we're going to bring these ladies up, and we're going to talk about
breastfeeding.
A serious issue. I don't have a bio for them, but they're going to tell us their bio.
Who they are. And where they're from.
And yes.
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 Welcome, ladies.
Hello.
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 Okay, can you introduce yourself, please?
My name is Yemanya Nipu, and I am a mother, father, grandmother, and grandfather.
All righty then.
Wear many hats.
I am the only living elder. Okay. Except for the great grandparents.
Okay.
And so I'm that issue that goes between the children, grandchildren, and the great grandparents.
Okay.
Because I have three of them that are living, two females and one male. Okay. I was born in the Midwest, in Kansas. Okay. And I come here. I came here when I was like 9 years old, Sacramento, California. Mm. Been here for decades. I'm 60 now. No shame in my game.
Uh-oh.
the other aspect is that I have been, I guess, a community activist and holistic health person since I could remember because I was raised on a farm. And so when we talk about breastfeeding, my mom gave birth to me at 17. My aunt cousin, my father's first cousin, her husband was my mother's older brother. She breastfed me while my mom went to high school. And so she breastfed me and my cousin at the exact same time. She was born
really?
In October.
So she was like this.
She was born.
Well, so she was holding you.
We don't have visuals, but if you guys would
we don't have
that.
A TV, okay. but you know what? Use
she
your
was like, yeah, she was double
right, we ain't going
right?
to walk it all hard like that, y'all. But she actually was the nourishment for my being and for who I am today. My elders all, and that's why breastfeeding is so important to me.
Okay. So can you repeat your name for me real quick?
Yemaya.
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 Yemaya. Yemaya.
Yemaya. Y-E-M-A-N-Y-A.
Yemaya.
Okay, now what's the meaning? Does
it's
it have a meaning?
It's goddess of the moon, goddess of the sea, mother fertility, the mermaid. She is the mother of the Orishas for the Yoruba people. My bloodline is, my African bloodline is Kumba and Yoruba.
Okay.
Yemaya. Oh,
and this sister, can you give us your background?
Yes, I am Yolanda Muhammad. And I'm glad to be here on the panel, and thank you all for having me.
Welcome.
And Yemaya for inviting me to be on the panel as well.
Okay.
I'm a mother of seven.
Okay.
I'm a grandmother of 35.
What?
And I'm a great grandmother about to be have my eighth.
All right, 35. Ooh, girl. Okay.
I have an NGO over in Ghana, West Africa, and a 501c3 here.
Okay. All right.
Be looking for some events to do some events to raise some funds.
True that.
And I breastfed all 7 of my children. I just moved here. Well, I'm being fragmented right now. I just moved here from Oakland, California. Mm-hmm. Been here in Sacramento area for about 2 years.
Okay, okay. Welcome.
And
repeat your name for me.
Yolanda.
Yolanda. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And my African name is Aku, Akuya, Inyawu Aku. Yes.
Okay.
And Inyawu means the sun, and Aku means Wednesday born, female born on Wednesday.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So your government name is Yolanda.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, yeah, your African name is.
Yes.
All right. Very cool. So tell me, what got you guys into this activism of trying to let people know about breastfeeding?
Well, for me, I have 3 children that I gave birth to that I breastfed from 77 to 95. My youngest, who's now 21, going on 22, December the 8th, was born 1 pound, 9 ounces. I breastfed in 80 when my daughter was born, Queen Sheba Oshun. Oshun Sheba Oshun. And Omar Khayyam was born in 77. And Jacques Pony Daoudé Lafayette was born in 93, 1 pound, 9 ounces at UC Davis Medical Center. With him, it was extreme. I breastfed the other two and with my goddaughters, the Ibeji. But when he came at 1 pound, 9 ounces, one of the most important things for me was nutrition for him. They wanted to give him formulas, but I told them he came from my womb and I needed to give him my nourishments from myself, you know, the colostrum and all the nutrients that were going to come from my personal being. They wanted to garbage feed him the breast milk that I gave him instead of letting him breastfeed to me, and I had to pump. And one of the things that happened when they garbage fed him, which means feeding him through a tube in his mouth into his stomach area, they punctured his intestinal tract. And so he ended up with a colostomy within 2 weeks after birth.
Oh, wow.
And so breast milk was essential for me to keep him alive. They sent in about 16 different people, because at that time I parlais français, I only spoke French to them because I was low income. My husband had been incarcerated and he had been out of prison from that February before. And so I knew that we were in a very critical situation, whereas we were considered extremely low income. And but I was educated enough to know that I had to fight for whatever way I possibly could. And so I chose not to speak English to them. And so they sent about 6 different people from Vietnam, from the, you know, excuse me, Europeans and other Africans that spoke French from Ghana and from different places to come speak to me. And they said, "Where were you born?" And I said, "I was born in Denver, Colorado." And they said, "How could you not with that accent, lady?" And they wanted to know what we were mixed with, because my husband is Apache.
Wait, what was the strategy here? Why did you speak other languages to them instead of English?
Because they wanted to take my baby and use him as a guinea pig. And because he was so young, they told me I should sign him over because he would be in better care if he was in a more institutionalized situation. So they brought all these people. Well, I had a C-section. We both died on the table, and God brought us back. The Orishas brought me back to stand steadfast. They took me so that they could tell me what I needed to do and brought me back. Mm-hmm. And that was the only way I could come back. And I thought in English, but it wasn't coming out, I promise. And so, plus they had given me morphine, and I was drug-free. And so when they gave me morphine, it affected my body chemicals in such a way it affected my psychological state. I state in this manner, no embarrassment, but I couldn't think in my normal way. And I knew that in order for me to fight from that bed, and my husband didn't know what to do. All he could do was cry because this was his first child. And he didn't know what to do. And my parents didn't know what to do. And his mom was in her late, 60s at the time, and she didn't really know what to do.
The 60s, and, watch that. Watch
well,
that.
What I mean by that is, I'm in my 60s now.
Did she say her late 60s?
But and the other aspect.
Like, watch it now, watch it.
Well, the other aspect.
Watch a step now.
Well, I was 38 years old. So they said that I was too, really and truthfully, my eggs were too old for me to have had a baby. And but guess what? Creator brought him anyway. So what I had to do was pump and make sure I stayed there and pump. And they wanted to send me home before they sent my baby home. And so they wanted me to sign these papers and all this stuff. And I refused to sign because I didn't have any legal representation. And they didn't know what to do with somebody who was thinking on their feet. But it was important for me to breastfeed, even though they said he wasn't going to latch on because his mouth was too little, but they had a nipple in his mouth that's bigger than my nipples. Mm. You feel me? Something rubber and plastic covered his whole little nose and everything. But why couldn't he have me? So I continued to pump and everything and breastfeed when I could. They told me they had him in a special incubator, told me I couldn't touch him and talk to him at the same time. So when I would go into ICU and CCU, I would go in singing. So if I couldn't talk to him, I sang. So I sang, and I fed my baby, and all the other baby stats went down also. Wow. And so then they wanted me to put my voice on Memorex so that they could control the nursery. So then they told me I had to leave the hospital. They put me up at the Kiwanis house at UC Davis. My husband and I were there because we lived in Galt at the time. And we, instead of us having to come back and forth with no transportation, we stayed there on site. I breastfed. I think it was like every 2 hours. At first, it was like every hour. And then when they punctured his intestines, then they wanted to give him this formula. And after the puncturing of the intestines, they told me he had a condition called retina pigmentosis, which meant that the retina on his eyes was, instead of fitting on like a glove, it was coming up like the points on a crown coming off of his eyes. And so they had over oxygenated my baby. They had punctured his intestines.
Oh my God.
And, I was standing steadfast. He still lives. He's deaf, non-speaking, but he signs. He tested out as a junior in college from homeschool, et cetera, and from the fact that I know that these nutrients, they wanted to put him on oxygen, send me home with oxygen, prednisone, and all these things that produce breast in boys now, that I took him off of and continued to breastfeed, even though they said not to. The formulas I brought home from WIC, but I didn't implement them. I juiced, I blended, I made all my own baby foods, all my own juices for him. Now he's 21 years old, wearing a size 14 and a half shoe. He stands 5'11".
Wow, that's a big brother.
Yeah. He's a big boy.
When people talk to me about this, I tell them that breast milk does wonders.
Yes.
What are the benefits? What are some of the benefits from...
Well, first of all, it pulls the female uterus back into the balance of the body. It gives forth all the nutrients needed to keep the child from being ill. He had his lungs were, of course, not fully developed, but they had him on all these asthma medicines and all these things. But when I took him off of these things without permission and did all the things I knew to do that I call my grandmothers and all them to do, You know, the benefits are vitamin K, colostrum, all the things that benefit them from being ill. Lungs, strengthens their bones, their muscle connector tissues. All of those things come from us. We are grown up already. We've had the nutrients in our body. In fact, when we become pregnant, I think that that's probably the strongest that we are as women. The only time we become vulnerable is when they put us on our backs instead of us being, you know, in a squat.
Both of us are squat.
Are you talking about giving
once
birth?
Again, once again, y'all need a TV for this.
I was like, who
we talking football
girl?
Here.
Okay.
Yeah,
like,
y'all
because I had a whole different image. Okay, all right.
Oh, God.
All right, Yolanda, what's your experience from breastfeeding?
Well,
since we're getting firsthand experiences of breastfeeding. So what's your experience breastfeeding?
Becoming a mother, I understood through learning from the elders in my family that breastfeeding is the best thing to do for your baby instead of bottle feeding. My mother was saying that she breastfed all of her children except for one. She bottle fed her eighth child, and he was the one that was rebellious. And all the rest of us was meek and humble because she breastfed us. So she was saying it's better to breastfeed. So when I breastfed my first child, I love the bonding that me and my
yeah. She said. She said a term. Latch on.
Well, I can that's imagine that it term. Does create a
closeness.
A psychic closeness.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A telepathic closeness.
Absolutely.
It's like blood, like the blood flow in your veins when you breathe correctly. Mm-hmm. It's that same vibration, you know.
Well, it's been living, the child has been living inside of the body and
it's like going back home.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, you know.
Oh, yes. That's the closest you can get.
In love with the mother. If you ever notice when you breastfeed your child is staring up at you and your child's like mesmerized, looking into your face, just in love with the mother breastfeeding, you know, and not only that, the benefits of breastfeeding is like she was saying, it brings the uterus back into place. Mm-hmm. It lowers the risk of getting breast cancer. It lowers the risk of getting ovarian cancer.
Oh, really?
You know? Yes.
Wow.
And it also builds the baby's immune system, where the baby is less likely to get diseases and infections and things like that.
Well, yeah. Me and Ron was talking, and that's one of the things that I thought that was very interesting about breastfeeding was that you pass on all your antibodies
to your baby.
Yes. And all the stuff that you survived is passed on.
It's like a protective shield.
Yeah.
How old should? Because I've seen some place.
I've seen some grown folks.
How old should they stop?
Because
I'm still breastfeeding.
You know what?
It's not on my mama though.
On the real about that, when we looked at the wars in Somalia and the devastation in Somalia and parts of Africa, to go across the diaspora right now, pertain to breastfeeding. The brothers, the warriors of Somalia, they kept their wives pregnant because they had to breastfeed because the lack of water and lack of nutrients. In order for them to continue the war, the women had their children breastfeeding and they had their warriors breastfeeding.
Hey, come on with it now. All right. Beautiful. Yeah.
So I got to feed one person. So, all right.
It's only in America that they really devalue breastfeeding. You know, it becomes a stigma. It becomes a thing. Oh, you have your breast out, that type of thing. When they use breast to sell everything, bubble gum, soda, everything. But when a mother tries to feed their child, it becomes something bad. Mm-hmm. So
it's very interesting. Sexual. Even on Facebook, right? They actually take down pictures of women, breastfeeding, and it's a very interesting thing where. We can have breasts out for consumer.
Oh, for
consumerism.
For music videos, selling bubble gum,
but when it comes to, you know, what they're made for. right? You'd be like, then it's like, oh no, we don't want to see that. So,
but there's a big campaign in Kaiser Hospital, though. They have a lot of pictures of women breastfeeding throughout Kaiser Hospital now.
Yeah. Well, they've had to bring it back around because they're watching the allergic reactions that the children are having. They talk about hyperactivity, bipolarism, all of these chemical imbalances, schizophrenic, you know, schizophrenia.
It has a lot to do with the chemicals that they're putting in.
That's right.
So if you get some natural things, it'll bring it back.
And going into such a natural being, someone so fresh.
There's
going to
be a counteract reaction.
Now, the mother definitely has to be pure, though. I mean,
she can't be smoking cigarettes. She can't be out there doing craziness.
No, because this is a form of like blood.
Yeah.
You know, this is life's blood.
The pre-child care, prenatal care.
It's the temple.
This is all the prenatal care. This is the beginning. When she goes into having this baby, she needs to be on track with everything.
Yeah. All the nutrition,
because the things that the things that she does that are not in balance can cause her to be somebody that's, or the child to be unbalanced.
Right. And then also, too, a lot of times they get duped. Our young black women, they get duped that you have to have formula, you have to have this. So you're spending your money on something that you're already producing yourself. Yes.
But it's also like we're living in a modern society. You know, it's like almost like Burger King. You know, I don't have time to sit home and pump my breast for my baby.
No,
let me get some formula.
Oh, no, that baby bit me. Well, guess what? No girl, when
does
I'm
it
a
hurt?
Female, no.
It doesn't hurt.
I've heard ladies say, oh, but she's a female. Or no, that's too sexy for me. Oh, it made me tingle here. Whatever.
She's got the wrong channel.
Well, yeah. Guess
that's
what?
That's the Western world.
That's the brainwashing
society in which we live in. Okay?
Well, it's supposed to feel good, girl.
Look, but, now it's time for people like her, mothers, you know, to come back into the community, to bring this motherhood.
Well, the big mama need to come back into their neighborhood.
Big mama start teaching again, okay?
Right. Yeah,
about the breastfeeding, the importance of breastfeeding, bringing some educational material into the black community, teaching these black girls how important it is, and then show them when they don't breastfeed what is subject to happen to their children. You don't want no retarded. We got to be real with these children.
Yeah,
so they know that we don't want to have no retarded kids running around here. Okay? Right. You want your child to be mentally and physically and spiritually healthy.
Sure. Sound right. Straight up.
Right. Okay, yeah. So
and if it starts with you on all levels, you know.
Yes, it does.
We're the first teachers. We're the first everything. We were the first cultivators. Yes. We're the first teachers.
Yeah.
Mother Earth is real. Mm-hmm. It's like if we don't go back to basics, then we're going to continue the genocide on our people. And the genocide starts from the womb. And so, you know, we know that. We see it once they come out the womb by third grade. They're trying to figure out which people. In a penitentiary or institution they're going to put them in. And so what we have to do is continue to educate with love the other
strong
females. We have to give them boundaries, but we have to continue to educate with love the other females that may not be open enough, you know, to understand. They are so busy looking at all the different electrical equipment and all these different medias and being brainwashed subconsciously and consciously, you know, by way of all these medias until we have to bring them back to earth. Come on, let's go put our feet in the soil. Let's talk right now.
Well, we have a big movement going on right now, organic, right? Everybody's
started
trying to go
that
back.
Movement.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Oh, excuse me. But you know, I think that you know when you look at the you know Caucasians, they are gravitating more towards organic.
Well, they're across the street with a
they be like farm to fork. You know, it's like interesting terms that you be like, wait a minute. You know, black folks been doing this, and then y'all took it away from us.
I was just
It's very interesting that they took it away from us, and then they adopt it, and then they like
they resell it back,
and then they be like, oh no, well we you know, and then they don't admit fault that they took it away from us, but we have to
hold on to our own though too. You have Big Mama in your house. Big Mama should have never left and went to the club.
Well, Big Mama shouldn't have never been put in a position to go to the club first. Second of all, Big Mama shouldn't have never been put in a convalescent home.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right.
And Paul Paul.
Yeah.
Because they are
the
our
guidance.
Original minds.
Yeah.
And
well, that's another thing. That's another thing where you know, like I said, we've been brainwashed. Yeah. They tell us this is the way you're supposed to do things. Mm-hmm. And then we forget about the way we do things.
Mm-hmm. Well, but you have to sometimes don't forget your heart. What's your heart telling you? What's your heart? Once again, it goes back to the heart. It goes back to love. It goes back to trust. Do I trust you enough to keep me here? Mm-hmm. You know,
because they take your people out of your home. They take your kids out your home.
And it's all about the dollar. So as long as they can sell something to you, I believe that's the key.
That's the key, we have to stop buying into everything.
Well, the original thing that they did, and I remember what they did to me when the last birth, they brought me all of these gifts that I was supposed to take home. And with these gifts came the formulas. Well, you can have this kind of formula, Nestle's, and then you can have this kind of formula.
Gerber. But
Johnson and Johnson.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we got all of this going on.
Like, who the hell is Johnson?
Because you know, for some people who are low income, just somebody, the thought that somebody's going to give them a gift that they think. But meanwhile, this is a gift of poison. Just like in India and parts of Africa, they bring them the formula that they have to mix.
Get them hooked on it.
They have to mix them with water.
So the water's bad. So you got bad water and bad formula. So you got gooba gaba.
And not only that, but you have to go down to the well and get the water. Right. But the water down in the well
ain't necessarily
contaminated.
You got to go way down to the river. And get that water.
You don't know
you
whether
formula.
that last animal had fallen off in the water.
Well, people
or
have
not.
To go. People still also have to start going back to thinking for themselves, because even if somebody offers you a can of formula, it don't mean that you have to take it.
Well, to me, it goes back to the whole thing where. If we go back to the way it's supposed to be, then not only are they saving money, but they are actually, you know, reinforcing that child.
Right.
For what's to come, you know,
sure.
And all the evolution that we have made and the environment that we live in.
But as a young lady, when it comes to you and your breast and your child, you can't allow people to make you feel ashamed of breastfeeding your child.
Yeah.
You know,
if
when
she
you
don't
look
know
at
no
you,
better.
But
she's not ashamed to wear a camisole out, but she's ashamed to pull her breast out
because
to feed her
make
baby.
Her feel
yeah.
comfortable.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes,
yeah
but
well,
we like, they yeah. have to stop feeling that way. They have to stop feeling that way. You have to be comfortable with who you are.
Yes. Yes.
So we have to start very early.
Yes.
And very early before they start. Well, of course, start from the womb.
But you have to start when they can see. Because they can't see in the womb. You need to show and tell.
There you go.
We have to end the stigmatism of breastfeeding. It's like you shouldn't feel ashamed to breastfeed.
No.
That's true.
You shouldn't have to run in a closet because your baby's hungry and all this kind of stuff.
It should be
like
encouraged. I'd be like, girl, go ahead.
Cover him with a blanket in 105 weather, huh?
Yeah.
I'm like, girl, go ahead. I ain't mad at you.
You know what? Not to cut you off. We as women, we don't realize that we stand in the place of God. We are second to God when it comes down to our children. Mm. When that baby cry, our breast fills up with milk to feed that child. That baby is praying to us when that baby cry. And then the mother hear the sound of that baby's voice, and she answers the call to the prayer of the child.
But even if she doesn't hear the baby's voice and the baby is crying 5 miles away, the breast is going to come and fill up anyway.
Well, even now, if the mother ain't at the house, they got a pump, you can put some in the refrigerator.
I like this train of reasoning that God is a breast. I love that. Okay, so.
Absolutely. The cells are alive. It's defecating everything clean.
God has big boobs.
Scientifically proven.
You're right.
Yeah.
So thank you, Yolanda. And I'm going to try to say your name.
Yemanya.
I'm Yemanya. But Yemanya. I want to throw a shout out to Sister Shona with her Sojourner Truth, because she's another sister that would have been here tonight.
Okay.
And she is definitely on board with us.
Okay.
And we're in March
for International
Women's Month. We will definitely be coming together to do a full form on breastfeeding, the mystery of the womb, how important the womb is to us as a people, as a nation. And my show on television is called Show Them the World.
Okay.
And you can actually email me at Y N as in Nancy, A P as in Paul, U E at gmail.com.
And I would like to mention also, get it out there, so if any breastfeeding mothers are listening, the Moringa, M O R
Oh, yeah. Moringa is a good
Yeah. So you know about absolutely. Okay. And that moringa produces quality breast milk. It fattens the baby. It helps the baby stay well and the mother, too. The mother had a C-section. Eat that moringa powder, moringa seeds, and it helps.
So what do you do? How do you eat the moringa?
You can pop the seeds in your mouth.
Pop those seeds.
Okay. And chew it.
Where can people buy moringa?
Where can they get it at?
From me.
Okay.
But I'm saying you have to give us some kind of address who you are.
I'm sorry.
Come on, Yolanda. Come on, girl.
Can't run out the middle of the street and yell, Moringa.
Moringa. You can get it from me, Yolanda Muhammad, at yahoo.com. Okay. It's YOULANDAMUHAMMAD at yahoo.com.
All right. Okay.
There you go.
All right. Yes. So go ahead and get your moringa.
Get your moringa on.
Get your moringa on from Yolanda and Yamaya. Okay.
Yeah, let's strengthen our communities by starting in the mystery of our wombs and with our breast. You know, let's strengthen our communities by feeding our children what's correct for their bodies. We are not cows. We are not that size. Reality is, you know.
Why would you drink from a cow?
Why would you take from another animal's breast when you're not going to put your lips to it?
Okay, at least 2 years.
2 years.
You should at least
breastfeed
for 2 years.
Yeah,
at least.
From 6 months to 2 years. 2 years is really important.
Okay. And I was just reading where it was saying that it helps to protect from obesity.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Also, the risk of SIDS. And it has a whole list of things. Yes.
Well, the other thing is that when a woman's breastfeeding, if, say, for instance, she has cancer, it will go into remission. You know, I have one lady that was supposed to be here this evening who breastfed her last baby, and she's been in remission for the last year and a half.
Oh, wow.
From cancer.
And then it also says that babies that have breastfed have a higher IQ.
Yes, they do. Yes. Absolutely.
I'm a witness.
Yes, they do. Is that why I'm so smart?
Let's make these geniuses with some breast
That's
milk,
right.
y'all.
All right.
Yeah. Not like,
all right, okay, everybody give it up for Yolanda and
Yamaya.
Thank you, ladies.
All right. All right.
A round of applause.
And I want to add, a good time to stop breastfeeding your child is when they get teeth.
Hey, I think it's time for Observer News.
All right. Yes.
All right, Tony Harvey's
going
to bring us
some
local
Tony?
News.
What's going on, fellas?
Man, how's
hey,
it
how
going?
You doing?
Yeah, hey. First of all.
I want to say... I do not use blue magic for my hair.
Wait.
Look,
no,
man.
No, I want to.
Wait a minute, wait a minute.
Come on, look up.
He wanted to snip. I keep telling, there's a lot of TV moments in here tonight.
I wasn't here for the last show, and I want to say that you guys had an amazing show last month.
Well, thank you, Marichelle Brown.
It was definitely a great show. It kept me entertained. You guys are...
Thank you very much. All right.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
But I have to say, tonight is a dynamite show, too. Boy, this is really, hey, you know what I mean? Yours, Ms. Lombard, your segment right there was beautiful. I'd like to learn more about that, about your business, and more about your background. Don't leave here without giving me your business card, please.
Yeah.
And these ladies talking about breastfeeding and birthing, these things that we need to talk about in our community.
Absolutely.
All right?
Yeah.
Hey, this is a down program tonight, and I'm glad you're back for that, Mr. Brown.
Right on.
Right. Tony on fire, boy.
Hey! He's on fire. Party in the news, sir.
Yes, what's
As
going
usual,
on
there's
there?
Always beautiful things going out and going on in the city of Sacramento and the Sacramento region.
Yes.
But I do want to start. I thought you would have been here for this one, but Monet Davis was here Sunday in the Underground Books.
Yeah.
And that was amazing, remarkable to be exact.
Yeah.
And if you all know Monet Davis.
Female,
come on. 12 years old.
12 years old pitcher.
Grace.
Oh,
cover of Sports Illustrated.
She was here.
The only youth. And she's a black youth female at that to do that.
How was that?
For that publication. It was beautiful. I mean, this
How was she?
Bookstore.
Right here.
Right now, she's not 12 anymore. She's 14. But it was a great showing. A lot of youth.
Now, and she's written a book, right?
Yes, and that was the whole thing. She had a book signing here.
Okay.
And the mayor, Kevin Johnson, was here.
Yes. They could pick it up here at Underground Books?
Yes, they can. Okay. Yes, they can.
Okay. And the name of the book is?
Uh-oh.
Monet Davis, remember my name.
I better remember that name.
Yes.
You better remember
book,
it.
Lisa,
yeah, that's
no,
a nice
I'm sorry, but
book
I am going to pick that
wow.
book up, though.
Yeah.
I was so entrenched in her spirit being here, you know, outside, you know, that she wrote a book because we met her mother and her auntie was here.
Okay.
She's a really great individual. I mean, I was kind of surprised that, you know, the celebrity thing hasn't taken control of her. She's not a snob.
Well,
she's very aware of what she's doing.
Her parents is keeping her in check.
Yeah, they keep her really grounded.
Okay.
I mean, she's busy. You know, mm-hmm. she's in high school right now. She's still playing baseball and basketball.
Yeah, I understand that she's real good at basketball also.
Yes, yes. You just put a move on Kevin Hart and fundraiser or a classic or something over the summer. And it was like a crossover move or something like that. Yeah, but she broke his ankle.
Tripped him up. Yeah.
Yeah, she tripped him up. She tripped him up. But she's an incredible athlete. And,
she sounds very athletic. Yeah.
And I'm sure we're going to hear more about her. And
she has a long career ahead of her.
Yes.
Now, only 14.
I spoke to her. She also was at the Kings game because they had a women's sports night, which was another great event. They brought some of the Monarchs back. And I talked to her and I was like, you know, what do you do with your time? And she said her mother does a really good job of managing her time. She does go to school about 8 hours a day. She practices about an hour, hour and a half in her, you know, each of her sports. And then there's time, you know, for her academics. So
she's focused.
Very focused. Sometimes they forget that she's a kid. You know what I'm saying?
She's
not an adult.
She's so,
You know, so, I said, she's very aware of everything in life and she's very giving and passionate about helping a lot of youth. And she signed every book in here. And there was a few Observer papers here, which you see that she's on the cover.
Yeah.
Our November 5th, 11th edition that Genoa Barrow, excuse me, she killed me. You don't kill me if I pronounce it. Genoa Barrow wrote for our paper and, hey, everybody got a little piece, a little love. It's only happened about an hour, hour and 15 minutes, but it was a great time.
Okay,
she signed everything, and she took a picture with everyone. She took selfies and all that good stuff. And
did she take any ussies?
Ussies? What's a ussie, man?
When there's more than two people.
Are you making up something again?
Well, you know.
He be just inventing words. Like Galatique. So what else is in the Observer News?
Okay, well, I do want to mention that this individual went to Sacramento State University a few years ago. He's the second player from that school, one of our hometown universities, John Dixon. He was drafted for the NBA D-League. Not the NBA, the D-League.
What's a D-League?
It's like a developmental league for the NBA.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So
which,
like
each clubs
like
are
semi-pro.
Yeah, semi-pro. Each club is assigned these little development leagues.
How old is he?
They're grooming them.
How old is he?
He should be about 24 or 25.
They're grooming them.
They're grooming them. And
awesome.
The significant thing about this individual, because he can jump out the gym, he tried out. He tried out for the Sacramento Kings in June 2013. He just tried out for them. And I guess, you know, from there and probably some other place that he played, he'd been raising a few eyebrows. So he will be playing for the team in Bakersfield under the Phoenix Suns of the NBA moniker. So
this is a local cat.
Well, he's actually from the Bay Area. I believe Vallejo, to be exact. He went to Sacramento State, California State University, Sacramento.
All right.
Sacramento State
makes him local.
Yeah.
So he's local.
Yeah, we claim him. We claim him.
Yes. And I just wanted to bring that out there because I used to cover him when I was doing some stringing freelance for the Associated Press, and that's when I met him. He's like a 6'7" high jumper. I'm a track and field fan anyway, so I like to hear things, what they're doing in that sport.
Yes, for all the ladies out there that's listening to my voice right now, I am 6'7" too as well.
See.
Minus 6'5".
I told y'all, you got to have a TV sometime. You got to have a TV.
I am 6'7". I have a chiseled jaw.
Rock the Bills.
Rock the Bills conference. Yes, was held at Sac City College a couple weeks ago. Okay. I did want to bring that up. Even though we didn't publish that. I know these things are passed on, but we should bring this to people's knowledge. This
and for those that don't know what Rock the Bills is all about, what
Rock the Bills is a youth conference that started out in the Bay Area. And what they do, they try to enlighten youth through the art of hip-hop. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, Marshall, you know you're very well to this.
Guys, yeah.
Right. And they work with you on
the art of hip-hop, yes.
Right, last year.
Yeah.
And we were talking about the low-end collaborative. What's that? The Low End Theory Collaborative.
Okay. Low End. All right. That's Michael
bunch
B.
Bunch of professional, right?
Michael B. Yeah.
Yeah.
Michael
B.
was our first guest.
Ken Times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ken Times. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
And what's the other guy named Adam Freyas?
Adam
Britt Irby. They do some real good things out of the community, even though they're kind of low key. But you know, I've been to
a
few of
their events.
Low
end theory,
but you know, and they're a group of professionals, educational side of it,
and all those brothers are positive.
They're like counselors,
they have
instructors and
professors.
All those brothers are positive, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they are very dedicated to
the community,
to the community and hip hop.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, you go
using hip hop for good.
You know, and they spread that love through the kids and let them express themselves.
Right.
You can't ask anything better than that. They have a series of workshops over here at Sacramento City College, and they'll be doing it again in 2016.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yes. So I did want to bring them up. Also, there was something else that took place, and I want to bring it up too, because hopefully more people get involved with that. And that was the Walk for Literacy from Oak Park, McClatchy Park. Okay. And they trekked down to Cesar Chavez Park in downtown Sacramento. And it's a fundraiser to fund a few reading programs around here in Sacramento.
Awesome.
And all that money goes to that. Not the administration cost.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And
so 100% of the proceeds go directly?
100%. 100%.
All right.
And that's put on by a few entities, but mainly the Sacramento Library Foundation.
Awesome. Very good.
Which is based right here
in Oak Park.
So, yes, there's a lot of things going on. I mean,
what else is going on? Since you said there's a lot of things, what else is going on?
I do want to bring this up while we are talking about Oak Park, because this issue has been going on for quite some time. There's a group here that is trying to put together a way to create some funds to bring a library back here to Oak Park.
Oh, yeah. Library. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that'd be cool. Awesome. Yes. A bridge. So,
yes, Dorothy Benjamin.
Yeah, Dorothy.
Awesome.
Yeah,
and the Friends of Oak Park are, you know, they're dealing with the city and stuff like that. You know, it's always some political.
You know, we should have her on as a guest.
Yes.
So she can
tell more.
That'd be great.
Okay.
Because, you know, I love that. They're doing some very innovative things at the library. Downtown, they have an actual 3D printer now.
Yes.
And they're doing some very innovative things down there. Yeah, very innovative.
So is it the 3D printer accessible to the public?
They have a 3D printer. They have the iPress, where you actually can print your own book. Print your own book.
Up to like 100, 200 books? How many books you can print?
I think it's about 200 that they can, you know.
Reasonable cost, too.
Yeah, it's low run.
Low cost?
No, probably not. But and they use local designers to design all the books and stuff, so it's very cool.
I'm glad you brought that up. Speaking of technology. But they are trying to do that. And they're trying to get Jason, the city councilman in this area, involved with that. He wants to do some things as far as, you know, put it in Father Keith Buchanan, but Dorothy doesn't want that. She wants temporarily put it in one of these empty facilities around here.
Oh, Oak Park used to have
build something later on.
Yeah, Oak Park used to have a library here.
Like it's still here.
Like a library.
Sitting right across.
But it's
McGeorge.
I mean, the building's here.
Right. But now it belongs to McGeorge Law School.
Yeah, but, you know, they expect the kids to live in this community to go to the one that's over in Tahoe Park.
Man, that's not going to happen.
We're
talking about Colonial Heights?
Colonial Heights.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's
a
stretch. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you could ride your bike there, but it's a long, you know.
It's a long trek.
These days, I wouldn't want my kids.
Yeah, you wouldn't, you know. Yeah.
So especially if they stay there
for like
long.
A 12-year-old to try to make it over to.
Mm-hmm. Then you got to cross Stockton Boulevard.
Oh, yeah.
And, man, you know,
and all the other things that go around.
that happened around Stockton Boulevard.
Hey, let's be
what goes on around Stockton Boulevard.
Let's be real about that.
We're not going to talk about what goes on around Stockton Boulevard.
Can you enlighten us? What goes on around?
But yeah, I do want to say something else. Now, from my understanding, how Big George?
oh, what time did they close?
From my understanding, from how Big George got this college, it was not a cool thing. You know, I mean, I know there's a lot of things that's happening in the 60s and the 70s.
Right.
But, you know, city council, like, you know, did a power move on this community to let them have that. They were trying to do that with the park, but the community really stood their ground on that to hold on to that.
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, I know things have changed and people
what we'll
have
do is
moved
we'll bring
and let her talk a little bit more about that. Yeah,
about
I won't
it,
go
and then maybe we can start a movement to try to make sure that we get a library here. Yeah, in Sacramento. Yeah.
But you know, also notice this though, and which is true because I've been looking at the numbers, the figures. The city expect a $1 million deficit with all these libraries in the Sacramento system as it is. Okay. So it's going to be very
difficult to get the
difficult to make this happen. Okay. But if you can identify some sponsors, somebody you know who can
make
contribute
it happen.
Some funds, yes, you shouldn't have no problem with that.
That's maybe we should do a Kickstarter.
But we'll bring that's a good idea. But we will bring in Dorothy Benjamin explain.
That'd be very cool.
Yes.
Okay. That'd be very cool.
Yeah. And
okay. So what else is happening in the news?
You know, maybe y'all guys don't want to talk about that, but the Sacramento Kings is 1-7 and they lost the last 6 straight. Yeah, I thought I'd bring that up.
Have you lost money?
Well, you know, if you want to count the playoffs in the last few years that they hadn't made, yes. Well, a lot of money. Thousands of dollars of money.
Well, in other news.
What is in the other news?
What we have first adult that was cured of sickle cell disease.
Oh, yes.
That was amazing.
Because growing up, I knew a girl that died of sickle cell. And this news, and even for people that have the sickle cell trait,
this is major news.
It's great news that this woman was cured of sickle cell anemia. It's huge news.
But it also makes you wonder.
And it's non-chemotherapy
at all. It's chemo-free, yeah.
Yeah, it's chemo-free. So it's a very good news for us.
Well, you know, me and Goss ran into a guy. Do you remember this guy? We went to a meeting, and this guy had a formula that he said that can cure sickle cell cancer.
He was from Africa.
A brother from Africa.
Okay.
And he actually had some people there to witness to say
that he did some things, but it's like the big thing is there's no cure, there's no real money in the cure, you know. So it's just like an insane thing.
Well, in biology class, there's a reason why black people get sickle cell anemia. Mm-hmm. It's because it helps us survive yellow fever. So in Africa, so if you get stung by the mosquito, right? That not yellow fever, but malaria. Mm-hmm. So it's a great. The anemia is great defense against malaria. So there's a reason why we have sickle cell anemia. But the full blown sickle cell is a killer. Right, and yes, this is awesome news. This is very awesome news.
Black lives matter.
At all times.
Yes. You're wise.
So what's going on? What's this about the now is this Missouri University? Or?
Yeah, can you
man.
What's going on?
Okay. As
our journalists.
When young people do something and they stand up, they can make a difference. Yes. They pull this guy down. Wait, they force this guy.
But I want to say this. It's only after until the sports team stood up.
I understand.
Okay,
that.
That's true.
Okay, there's a responsibility with our athletes.
Well, okay,
that's the power of kind of
explain
folks.
The University of Missouri. About.
There we go.
Has been dealing with some racial tensions. Actually, they go all the way back to 1950. They came up with a list of demands, you know, to make it better for people of color on this campus
for years.
For years, and it just came to a. You know, they just bumped head. Right. It came to a head in the past couple of weeks when the president of the four-school university clashed with some of the black students, and he said some things that they didn't like. football team, of course, what Lawrence was saying, they heard some of this. They were not going to play.
Even though the football team wasn't going to play, it wasn't until the football team had nothing to do with the struggle that was already going.
Right.
The guy fasted. He did a whole fast.
Yeah, but the guy did the fast. But the football team was the cream on the top.
Because if they didn't play it, it would have missed out on $1 million.
Sure.
The university didn't want that.
It was about money, right?
Okay. Because football on every campus, at least the Division I school, makes millions of dollars. Okay, that funding comes
in.
So
if they don't play,
they don't get the money.
But that's what I'm saying.
If you got a campus with, you know, people riding in trucks riding around the campus, and they got the Confederate flag, feces on black sororities, fraternities,
making swastikas.
Okay, yeah.
They just ain't racist. They just nasty.
That's exactly. A hostile environment. Yes,
and that probably was fueled by the. You know, the current thing that was happening in Ferguson.
Sure.
Okay, and these teams were like, well, it's all over the state. Well, it's all over the country, but it's all over the state. We want these things to stop right now. So they forced the president to resign yesterday.
Yeah, and he was pitiful.
Yeah,
and the chancellor.
He didn't even really apologize. He just resigned.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just out, you know.
But he was talking about change.
And it's only because they wasn't doing anything. It's like, hey, look, these things are happening and you're not doing anything.
Right,
so,
okay. You
gotta back to it. Yes, Lawrence, you are correct. It would have never probably got that national attention if it wasn't for that football.
And the guy, he mentioned this on NPR. He was saying that a lot of people that don't read the front news read sports news. Yeah. So when it fell on the sports page, then people was like, what the?
This is going on the front page.
Okay,
now.
Next in other news is that Snoop Dogg is now launching his own cannabis product in Colorado. Snoop Dogg, that's a smart move. That's a smart move because,
he's an endorser.
Yeah.
What state's he always been. what state was that? Ohio.
That was Ohio. Mm-hmm.
That measure, that initiative, it failed.
It failed.
Well, it should have failed because. Mm-hmm.
But guess who they had?
What was the
one of the 98 Degrees or the Backstreet Boys? He was a backer of it.
Yeah.
And Oscar Big Old Robinson, who used to play in the NBA years ago.
They were trying to legalize.
Well, they were going to create these marijuana farms where you cultivate them.
But they were only going to give it to, five or six individuals.
That's why I was voted down.
Able to grow this marijuana.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's not cool.
That's not cool.
That's not cool.
That's not cool.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Because, you're monopolizing the product. You're monopolizing the product. And that's
And then we have so many people that are already locked up behind marijuana.
I know.
For years.
And then white people come along and they're going to make a whole bunch of money off of marijuana all of a sudden.
So that's why I don't blame, Snoop doing his thing.
Hey, I'm all for it, man. If I smoke weed, because I don't, but if I did, I would buy a Snoop Dogg brand. Okay?
You get some of that literally this.
You know what I'm saying?
Can I get some of that Snoop Dogg?
I'll be like, cooling down the street. Whammo! In my, sipping on Janet. Okay.
What else is new?
New technology. Any high-tech news?
Okay. Oh, I just want to point out that the WHO declares Sierra Leone free of Ebola. Nope. They've been battling that for years.
Oh, no. So who finally?
The WHO.
Who?
Declared.
Who?
No, who?
Who what?
Who?
Who?
WHO.
The World Health
Organization. That's why I said WHO.
Who?
Not who?
Who? WHO.
Who's on first? I don't know. WHO.
World Health Organization, folks.
Okay. World Health Organization. I can't even say it. World Health Organization.
We have a lot of literally shit.
Who? More Ebola in Sierra Leone.
Okay, so we got about 5 minutes or so.
Okay.
I want to do some tech news real quick. You can check this out online on our website, blacktalksacramento.com. I'm going to put these links show notes. You can go on there and check it out. A robot chef.
The
first link. So you click on there and you can, this guy, he invented this robot chef.
That
chef
might be good.
BBC. For a
keep
single
people
guy,
from spitting in
look,
your
look,
restaurant.
Look, from a single guy that eat a lot of top ramen, it is excellent.
A robot chef.
So, a robot chef.
So he would make top ramen for you?
No, he actually makes these little packages, right? And you just put it in the machine, and the machine pours it out, and it mixes it together and makes whatever you want. It's awesome. I could dig that, you know? And then if you add a little microwave on the end of that, that'd be awesome. See,
I don't know.
Because, you know, I have a very limited diet.
Breast milk.
Maybe I should sign up for Meals on Wheels. Meals on Wheels.
Yes. Boom, boom.
He said, I know. Yama, yama, yama.
Yama,
yama. What is it? Yama, yay?
Yamin, ya.
Yamin, ya. Yamin, ya. I'm like, Yamin, ya. Yamin, ya. I had to call Yamin, ya.
Do you deliver?
I know. Do you make that chocolate milk, girl? Okay, so. All right. I want strawberry shake, girl. Oh, all right. Here's a strawberry.
With no food.
Okay.
Oh, you all are
Yolanda.
Talking about the moringa in relation to the sickle cell anemia. I have a client who used the moringa, okay?
Okay.
And has to have a blood transfusion every 3 months. So that means 4 times a year. But since she's been on the moringa, she only has to have it twice a year.
Okay? All right. All right. A nice infomercial, Yolanda.
Get your moringa, y'all. Get your moringa.
Like, I know. We really pushing that moringa today. You're like, we're really pushing that.
So next what else?
The next one is...
Ultrasonic bubbles?
Ultrasonic bubbles gives cold water bug-killing cleaning power. So you don't need soap anymore. They're making this thing where you don't have to use soap because soap goes into the water, it contaminates and all this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So you can actually use this ultrasonic bubble. Very so now, cool. So you
how
can,
much
like,
is this ultrasonic water? Because you know what?
Well, it's a little device you put on the end of... the water, and it makes ultrasonic bubbles in the water, and you can. And they say they're going to make it. They're going to take it to
to everybody's house.
To your house, maybe. I wouldn't mind having it because, you know, I go through a lot of soap.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know,
maybe take an ultrasonic shower, you know what I'm saying?
I don't know, man.
Maybe tingle a little Tony bit, you Harvey, know what I'm saying? Don't say nothing.
Oh, yeah. All right, so.
Okay, before we go.
Before we go, what?
Before we go. Okay, did anybody see or hear about the light or the missile that they
Oh, said. Yes. Yeah. And they talk about the missile. There ain't no missile.
That wasn't no missile.
Wait, what missile?
There's a light in the sky that went over LA.
Right.
Yeah,
it went over LA. California.
And they said it was the Navy said it was a missile that they shot.
Shot, yeah.
But that thing didn't look, it looked like a freaking comet.
Yeah, and it was
didn't look like
very
no missile.
Slow. It went very slow. And then in Cape Town, South Africa.
I'd be like, where's Will
Smith?
They
had these clouds that were kind of shaped like a UFO.
Oh, well, yeah. I don't know about those pictures.
Okay.
Because that could be photoshopped.
I heard about that.
But okay. The other ones have multiple sightings, and you can see multiple pictures from different people's cell phones online. And they picture this comet-looking thing flying over L.A. very slowly, like you
very
said.
Very slowly.
And flying over, and then all of a sudden, the government's like, oh, well, you know.
Oh, we shot a missile.
We shot a missile.
We're testing.
But the freaking thing looked like and it was this big blue light.
Light, yeah, that was behind it.
Yes.
Yeah,
it was the mothership. Really, George Clinton had landed the mothership.
Hey,
one nation under the grill.
That'd be so awesome if a black guy stepped out.
Just.
It's a platform.
Getting down.
Y'all have
just.
Your sunglasses on.
I know. Be like,
flashlight.
You come out with a flashlight.
Flashlight.
Sir Noel's devoid of funk.
Hey, like,
da da da
like
dee,
the
da,
universe.
Da, da, da.
That's be the alien talk.
Da 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 dee, da 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 da.
I know that's how you had to talk to him. Like,
I make your funk.
You know that? You know that? That movie where they was playing the sounds like.
Third encounter to the. Wait a minute.
Third encounter.
Like, close encounters of the third count.
You'd be like, the fuck encounters. Like the fucking guy is like, what? Have some star glasses. Okay, so.
It's Buzilla, baby.
Y'all ain't right.
Feeling it today, boy.
All right, so we have some good news for women. They are making this.
Breast milk.
They are making breast milk for us brothers. Unhooking the secret of bra fitting. They have a 3D mirror now that women can go in front of, and they can just do like this and turn around, and it finds your perfect bra. It's an awesome. Yes, I thought that was awesome, you know, because I'm a breast man.
It's not like so, a hologram or something.
Dude.
No, no,
do you know how much that bra is going to cost?
No, no, the bra is cheap.
How much is it going to cost just to try that
correct,
thing?
It defines the correct. It's in the fitting room.
It ain't going there. Size.
And it's in, I think it's in Japan right okay. now where they're trying it out. And you just go in there where you know. Famous.
They need to come. Wait, I what? Heard what you said. They need to come here where there's some sisters at. Didn't you,
oh, you boy, know, gonna
to
blow
try
it up.
That machine.
They're going to have to redesign it.
I'll be like, you know, because sometimes, like, sister, you need to find a good bra, you know what I'm saying? it's cutting you right here.
They over there you know. Measuring them itty bitty
titties. It's coming, whatever it is.
Did you
I know. It'd be all bubbling. I don't think it should bubble like that.
Whatever it is. Coming.
Wait, this is cable.
Whatever it is.
This is cable. I could say so. It's cable. Oh. So wait.
Okay.
You know the deal.
Okay. So, okay. And then also, too, for our brothers in construction, I just, you know, I'm always trying to look out for my brothers, always trying to look out for this is our last entry. Is they inventing this robot builder design for construction sites.
That means they putting the brothers out of work.
That's yeah. what I'm saying. So
they already don't get the brothers on the site. Now you're gonna bring in a robot.
No, I'm gonna say it's not yeah.
the robot gonna upstage
well, they have,
the brothers.
They have two
Talking
technologies.
About a racist system.
They have two technologies that is coming that in the next 10 years I will say that black employment
Well, there's
will be
if
cut
you look, a lot of
even
jobs
lower
are going
than
away.
What than sure. what it is right now, yeah. and that's,
but that's why we have 3D, to step up and do some things.
They're going
to
3D print houses.
I was going to say we got to create our own.
You got to create your own jobs. You got to go to school. You got to get everything you need because you can't keep 20 years from now. You can't keep complaining they taking it from me. Mm-hmm. You just
well,
can't let
it.
You got to do something.
Yeah.
Right. You got to hold on to your own.
You got
to
start now, though.
You got to start now
because in 10 years
ain't going to be nothing to hold on to.
In France, they're already building a bridge 3D printed bridge.
Well, see, and do you know what?
And then now they got this robot. I saw the if you click on the link, you will see the picture. They
3D
working out the,
bridge. They got then, a robot cooking your food.
Robot cooking your right. Yeah. So McDonald's, you ain't gonna be working at McDonald's no more.
See,
you can't get no job at McDonald's.
I'm not even gonna say what I'm thinking. I'm not.
You know what I'm saying? Because you know they're gonna have a robot thing. You know, be like, hey, I want a double pounder. Be like,
no. Already, you don't even know how to count. You don't need to know how to count to use the register. Now they're gonna get some robots behind there.
Right.
So it's gonna be very interesting. So I try to keep people. That's why we do tech news on the show because I try to keep people apprised.
I learn something new every
of technology because
every
that's
trip.
The shape. That's where everything's
going.
Because
it's gonna happen.
But yeah, there needs to be
all
a
this
people,
thing that Lauren's talking about. It's going to happen. It's already happening.
But there needs to be a people protest. People need to start standing up and saying, "Don't take my job from me."
Well, you know, there's a lot of black entrepreneurs right now that's trying to get is reaching back to black children, try to get them to code and do different things in order to, you know, look forward.
Right.
But even then,
but we have to hip them. We have to tell them. We got to get them ready.
Even with coding and stuff, it's like pretty soon the development of AI, artificial intelligence. Mm-hmm. Pretty soon, you just have to tell the computer what kind of program you want, and the program will be able to build it because it's got AI. It'd be like, okay, I can just write this code and give you exactly what you want. So it's
iRobot.
Yeah, it's a very interesting stage that we are in when it comes to right now. And we have to be prepared for it. Black folks, we got to get...
It starts within you.
The revolution will not be televised. It will be on Facebook.
Computerized.
It'll be computerized. I like that.
Okay, so I guess it's the end of the show.
This is it?
Is this the end of the show?
Great show.
You have made it to the very end of the show.
I want to thank our studio audience.
Yes.
For joining us. Yes, 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 yes.
I wanna personally thank Yemaya. Because I like saying her name, Yemaya. Yes.
She got on, folks.
I know. She gonna
fashion fabulous.
She's gonna put
y'all really need to have a TV on this one so y'all can see the things.
You can call her at 1-800-BREAST-MILK. So okay.
Say goodnight, Lawrence.
we are here at Underground Books every second Tuesday.
That's right. That's
at 5 o'clock.
2814 35th Street.
And another three. And you come down here, buy a book. We got the new what's the Monet book? We got the new Mo Day book.
Mo Day Davis book. Yes.
Mo Day Davis book. Monet we got Davis. The new Mo Day Davis book.
Remember Thanksgiving my name? Coming up. Christmas
Remember
coming up.
My name. Oh yeah, what, Christmas.
Wait. What's the
Kwanzaa coming up?
All right. So come down here and also too go to our website to check out other culture events that you can go to. Click on there. We want you to go to a culture event. Go to a gallery. Just don't go out there and booty shake. We want you to go to a poetry event. We want you to go to a gallery. We want you to go to a concert. Maybe concert, you know. What
go
saying?
Check out some jazz.
Yeah. From a local person. You know. Just because.
It's mold school grown folks stuff.
Yeah, just because it's mint condition don't mean you have to go to it. You can actually go somewhere else. All right.
All right.
And that's Black Talk Sacramento. I'm Inside Ah.
My name is Marichelle J. Brown.
And I'm Jerry Goss Simpson.
And I am Antonio, quote unquote, Tony Javi, Sacramento Observer.
All right.
I got to throw us in there. You know,
you're like, boy, that guy got
and this
subtitles.
Is Black Talk Sacramento,
all right. Thank
everybody.
You very much.
Have a great week.
All right.
Have a great month. Just have a great life. There you go.